What does it mean to be vulnerable? Philosopher Judith Butler says that we have a problem with identifying vulnerability as being in need. Butler insists that vulnerability is not primarily about need, but about the capacity to respond, the capacity to be in relationship. Vulnerability is not first about weakness, but about availability. God came to be with us in the most vulnerable way, as a baby. Think about a baby's capacity to be in relationship. A baby waiting, available to be held and loved. Waiting and available to grow into love and connection and meaningful relationship. God is vulnerable to us in that choice to come to us in Jesus. Not weak, but available, and risking heartbreak by inviting us to respond, to participate, to be in relationship. What if this parable of the prodigal son is not primarily about squandering of resources, not about wastefulness or bad decisions, not about forgiveness of sins, but about the vulnerability of God and God's eternal, relentless choice to be in relationship with us? What if it's about God always and forever running down the road, arms open wide? What if it's an invitation to think about our own capacity to be in relationship, to think about our own vulnerability and availability? What if it's an invitation to think about what gets in the way of that capacity and availability? Can squandering of resources, of gifts, of energy get in the way of relationship? Absolutely. The younger son in this parable was lost. That connection with his father was damaged, broken, when he was off spending his inheritance extravagantly and wastefully. If we take a close look at the unfolding of this story, we'll notice that the younger son's way back into relationship with his father isn't a path of regret or remorse. It isn't conditional on his asking for forgiveness. Notice he doesn't say, "What a fool I've been, how wasteful I've been." He doesn't express regret at having spent his inheritance. What he realizes as he sits among the pigs and the pods with no one giving him anything is that his father's hired hands have more than enough to eat while he is starving. He's desperate, and he sees a way to a full belly. He says, "I will say to my father." And what he plans to say is a formula that he thinks will result in forgiveness enough that his father will take him on as a hired hand. Notice, the father sees him a long way off and comes to him with open arms. There is no acknowledgement of this formula asking for forgiveness. There is no mention of forgiveness. There is only reconnecting. There is only celebrating of relationship with food and drink. And what about the older son? Does his resentment, his self-righteousness, get in the way of relationship? Absolutely. It's a barrier, an obstacle that keeps him on the outside, that keeps him from celebrating, and keeps him from the joy of meaningful connection. There's an excellent book on social activism called The Four Pivots. The author, Sean Ginwright, says that we do too much lens work in our society and not enough mirror work. We're so busy looking through lenses for formulas and solutions that we forget to look in the mirror at ourselves, at how and where we are in the world. He's not writing from a Christian perspective, but this invitation to consider both lens and mirror is certainly relevant for followers of Jesus. And it changes this parable of the prodigal son for us. It's natural to look at this story and to say, "Who am I in this?" To ask, "Is the father in the story God? Am I the younger son, the older son?" There is lens and mirror in this, but there is a deeper invitation. There is an invitation to look at this through the lens of relationship and to see this story as a story of God's vulnerability, of God's availability to be with us in meaningful, life-giving relationship. There is an invitation to take a loving look in the mirror at our own vulnerability, at our own availability to be in relationship, and to consider what might be getting in the way. What might we be doing? How might we be wandering from meaningful connection with God and with each other? Are we squandering resources or energy? Are we letting resentment or self-righteousness form a barrier around us? We also heard from 2 Corinthians this morning, and this reading offered us the theme of reconciliation. We are reconciled to God, and we are to go about the work of reconciliation in our world. Reconciliation isn't optional for followers of Jesus, but it's not straightforward either. There is no simple formula. If this, then that, and all will be reconciled. Reconciliation requires movement and discernment and a willingness to look for ways to transform and heal what has become broken and wounded. The work of reconciliation isn't fast work. It's not about quick fixes. It's about a commitment from each of us to be willing to participate in our own way in bringing about transformation and healing in our world. Notice, in addressing the Corinthians, Paul begins with, "From now on." He is speaking of a new creation. How does this new creation come about? It comes about with our participation. There are different kinds of movement in life. There is an us and them movement, a movement that is about jockeying for position, about being on the right side and staying there. This is not the movement that Jesus modeled for us. This is not what will bring us to a new creation. Jesus modeled a movement of growth and transformation, and we are called to this kind of movement, movement that comes out of working to dismantle unhealthy barriers and obstacles. This new creation comes out of recognizing that sometimes those barriers and obstacles lie within our own hearts and minds. Back to the parable. We hear that the father in this story was filled with compassion. Compassion is so much more than feeling sorry. Compassion literally means to suffer with or to suffer together. Compassion is a willingness to be with suffering. And at the heart of compassion is loving relationship. It's about the capacity and availability that I've been speaking of. An us and them approach and compassion don't go together. Jesus tells this parable of the prodigal son in response to grumbling about his welcoming and eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus is showing a way that isn't about us and them, that isn't about I'm right and you're wrong, but rather about a willingness to be with one another in loving, compassionate relationship. The way of Jesus faces injustice and suffering in our world and is willing to be with that injustice and suffering nonviolently and willing to move with our convictions, willing to be open to potential and possibility, even in the darkest places in our world. As we continue our journey through Lent, I invite you to reflect on vulnerability and compassion in your life. I invite you to consider vulnerability not as a weakness, but as availability and capacity to be in relationship. Where can you move in your life toward a new creation, toward transformation and healing and wholeness? What obstacles might be holding you back? Where can you work toward a new creation in our world? Not by digging in an us and them approach, but by moving with compassion. Our God is a vulnerable God, a God who is endlessly, eternally ready and available to be in loving, meaningful relationship with us, and who invites us to live in the same way with each other and in our world. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.